How are we doing? Okay, wonderful. It's good to be here. We should keep people in our congregation in prayer. Particularly, a number of us have COVID this week, so it's making a bit of a comeback. Probably because we all had so much fun over the last few weeks together. So just you could lift up a number of people. Lynn is not here with COVID, and And then Soli and Hassan are not here with COVID. So lift them up in prayer if you would. They would feel better and we would see them soon. We're going to get into a new talk today. We're going to be doing Talk Back, which as you might guess means that you get a chance to say something. Now, it is not forced for you to say anything. So don't feel like you're pressured to do so, and don't make your way to the door so that you won't have to do so. But at the end of the service, there's going to be some questions, but also just a chance for you to say, oh, I disagree with that, oh, I don't think the Bible says this, or whatever. You'll get to have your say. So be listening and thinking about the topic, and our first topic is going to be prayer, so I suppose we should probably pray. So let's bow our heads, we'll pray, and we'll get into this. Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would bring light and clarity to this kind of confusing subject. And you would bring through that a desire to want to do this thing called prayer. We pray that you would help us to be in community and in talk with you. And that you would be blessed through this conversation in your word as to how we might go about doing this in our normal lives. We lift all these things to you, knowing that you love us, you're looking after us, you have great plans for us and for our church. We pray these things in your name, amen. So this morning's question, as it were, is, are all in parentheses, are all my prayers heard? So of course we're not talking about, does God literally hear our prayers? God hears the tiny noises of like quantum parts inside of an atom. Every single atom in the universe, he hears all that. He certainly hears your prayers, right? He hears everything you say to the minutest amount. We're really asking, does God respond to what I say? Does God respond to my prayers? Even maybe the ones that aren't that great, even the bad ones. Does God respond or hear my prayers? Well, who here has prayed? And, you know, even imagine that it's a good one, yeah? Lord, I really want this, and it's really... And you finish the prayer, and there is dead silence, right? There's nothing. And then you think, maybe this is going to get better over the next few weeks. Doesn't get better, yeah? There's still dead silence. And perhaps this goes on for years. I've been praying for years for this, and nothing visible happens. Nothing visible happens, meaning you cannot see any sort of change to what you had asked for. Now, as you guys know, I used to be a youth pastor, and I kind of, those were my glory days as when I was a youth pastor, even though I didn't think they would be glory days. In fact, I didn't really want to be a youth pastor. I wanted to jump right into the lead pastor role. But one of the things that happened in my youth group is that we would have new students come in, and I had even a routine going that my staff had this routine. A new person would come in, and we would put it on our priority to pray for them every day. And they'd come in, and we'd begin to pray, and sure enough, 5 months later, they'd make a decision for the Lord. That's how it worked. They would come in, everyone would pray like crazy, 5 months later, they would make a decision for the Lord. But you know, that didn't always happen. So we had some people that we prayed like this for, and nothing seemed to happen. We also had a lot of people who made a commitment to the Lord, and they afterwards didn't fall through on that commitment. And then finally, I've prayed for a whole host of people to meet the Lord over the course of my life, and I can't see any change in their lives, and a few of them have died, so it's not like any change is going to happen. So what happened there, Lord? Are my prayers really heard? All of them. Particularly, this doesn't seem like an evil prayer, does it? Now, this is a really important topic to us. Why is it important? Because over time, if you feel like you're not being heard, you stop talking. That's what happens. What's the use, you say? I've gone before you. I've humbled myself, and I can't see any difference, so I'm just going to stop doing this. Well, hopefully you can see in my story that there was a lot of positive, but there is that question about those particular prayers. What's going on there? All right, so here's our big idea that I want you guys to be thinking about as we continue. God always hears your prayers, okay? If you're a believer, that is. Okay, God always hears your prayers, but sometimes he corrects the prayers of his children, okay? God always hears your prayers, but sometimes he corrects the prayers of his children. Now, we're going to dive into this. So what does the Bible have to say? This is a time where we're going to talk about a relevant subject like prayer, but we're going to look at what the scripture says and kind of dig through this topic and see all the pieces of it. To start with, there is a group of people that God promises he's not going to hear, flat out. And that's those who are in open rebellion at that very time against God. Open rebellion against God. So I have some verses up that we can take a look at that are going to kind of hint at that. I think there's three of them. Oh, yes, there they are. I'm just going to read these to you. Samuel 22:42, David is speaking. You made my enemies turn their back in flight. I destroyed my foes. They cried out for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. So there are people, they're crying out to the Lord, which is funny because they're actually fighting the Lord, but now they're in a bad, precarious situation. So they turn tail and say, please help me. And God does not respond. Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. So am I heard? No, God's not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself and make yourself clean. And then a little further down, it's going to say, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, I will make you white as snow. Okay, so you're offering prayers, but I'm not listening, says God. Third one, Proverbs 15:8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. Just a little fill in for this. The sacrifice is the thing that you're offering at the temple, and that would include prayer. So you offer a sacrifice, and within that you pray. It says the Lord detests, or he abominates the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. So there's a contrast. One prayer versus another prayer, right? And then you've got the Pharisee. You remember Jesus' story? The Pharisee is praying thus to himself. God, thank you that I'm a wealthy to-do, and I've done good, and I'm not like this terrible person over there. And God says at the end of that, I hope you've enjoyed the conversation with yourself. Yeah, because not to me. It's not to me. I'm not listening to that. And so we got to caveat this. Those who are directly fighting God, either overtly, like they're fighting David, who's the forefather of Messiah, or inwardly, meaning they go to church, but they don't want to have anything to do with listening to God. They don't want to have anything to do with following God, and that's not in their interest. Those who are hostile to him, God says, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to that. And he says nothing at all. Great illustration, Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. God appears to Jonah and says, go to Nineveh, cry out against it. And Jonah says, no way. And he gets on a boat going the opposite direction. There's a huge storm. The guys on board who don't know anything about God cast lots, and it comes out that Jonah is the guilty party. They throw him into the water. The storm stops. He goes into the water. He gets swallowed by a fish. Okay? And in the belly of the fish, he survives. How does he survive? It's miraculous, okay? It's a miracle. Anyway, he's in the belly of the fish, and he gives this incredible prayer. Who's read that prayer in Jonah chapter 2? Beautiful prayer. It brings you to tears. You know why? Because it's all plagiarized. It's all David's prayer. He's stealing different parts of David's prayer. He's putting it all together. It sounds really great. He's not repenting. You won't find repentance in that prayer. Now, at the end of that prayer, it says, God spoke to the fish, and the fish barfed Jonah. It's that word. It's a disgusting word. The fish barfed Jonah, except for it doesn't say the fish. It just says it, he or she or it barfed Jonah, leading you to wonder who's doing the barfing here. Is it the fish or is it God? And the idea is, I'm so sick of this prayer that you offered that I just want to vomit, Jonah. This is disgusting to me. That's the way that God responds to the prayer of those who are opposing him. Jonah doesn't repent, and it doesn't come until the last chapter that he gets the opportunity. God just gives him the opportunity to repent of that. Okay? This is how God responds with somebody who is actively opposing him. Nothing, right? But this is important. It doesn't mean that God never hears the prayers of unbelievers. God heard my prayer before I knew him. I wasn't sure whether he existed, and I prayed half-heartedly saying, well, if you do exist, I guess I would like to know a little bit more. God heard that prayer. Nineveh, Saul, Solomon, Cornelius, Ahab, Samson, there's quite a lot of them. Before they knew the Lord, and some of them never knew the Lord, they pray in the Bible, and we see that their prayers are answered. Okay? Their prayers are answered. So what we're trying to say is we just simply can't believe, we simply can't guarantee to unbelievers that their prayer will be heard, but we want to encourage them to pray. Okay? We can't guarantee that their prayer will be heard. The very best thing they could do is to choose to trust Jesus, and then there's a guarantee that their prayer is going to be heard. Because we're children of God. We're going to get into that. We have a different relationship than the outsiders, and we can go to God because we're in the family. So God always hears, but sometimes corrects the prayers of his children. Does God hear our prayers? Absolutely. And it's absolutely because of Jesus, okay? So our standing has changed with God, and it's because of Jesus. I'm just going to read this to you. John, 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we would be called children of God, and that is what we are." So the way that we became children, we didn't naturally belong in God's family. We were naturally in the family that is devoted to sin, to the adversary, and God has died. He has sent Jesus to die for our sins, to pay our penalty, to bring us back into the family. And in that place, we have this special relationship where we can talk to Dad about anything because we're his kids. I mean, what kid thinks I'm not allowed to talk to my dad, okay? Or I'm not allowed to talk to my mom? They think I belong in the family, and if I need something, I'm going to tell them right now, okay? That's how it works. Anything that they want, they don't hesitate. They go right to the folks and say, give it to me, right? Now, if my son comes to me and he says, Dad, I want, usually what follows, there's like three different items that could follow. Cookies, cake, something sugary, anything sugary, he'll come to me and ask on a regular basis. And I love my son. And so the answer to my son is going to be not just a flat no, it's going to be no, but often. Sometimes I do give him cookies and cake just because I like him. You know, I want him to enjoy. But it doesn't do anything for him nutritionally. So he's going to come and he's going to say, and I'm going to say, no, but. Now, there's a few no, but prayers that God has for us too, okay? He's got a no, I'm not going to do that, but I will do something. I will listen and respond to your prayer always. Always. So now we're going to take a look at these kind of three incorrect prayers that we find in the scripture here that are no buts. Okay, so the first one is the selfish prayer. God says no but to the selfish prayer. And so this is in James. We're in James chapter 4, which is towards the end of the Bible. It's on page 1215. And then I think we're starting midway through verse 2. 1215. It says this. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So again, nobody wants a spoiled child, and God doesn't want to make a spoiled child. And if he keeps saying yes to spoiled things, like getting whatever I want, then he will make a spoiled child. So now he's got a little bit of a dilemma. Now here it says, you ask and you don't receive. Why don't you receive it? Why do you get a no response from God, a no but, and here's something else? The reason is because you want to spend it on your pleasure. Now, that word pleasure there is the same word from which we get the word hedonism. Hedonism. And you guys, maybe, does anybody know a hedonist who would say, I'm a hedonist around? There are. They're out there. And they're not particularly nice people, necessarily. Yeah, they're very focused on themselves. And so there are people who worship their stomach, and then that's how they pray. I want this, and I want that, and I want the other thing. Listen, let's just all be honest. I cannot be the only person that has prayed to win the lottery. I can't. You guys probably have prayed that, yes? You're with me. And we really are sincere. We would really, really like that. Why would we like that? Because then we don't have to worry about anything more. And, you know, we'll get all the cushy pillows that we want for our head. And there'll never be another concern there. And we certainly won't have to pray anymore to the Lord. Because we'll have it, yeah? By the way, I watched a video on this. It had 20 different people who won the lottery, and every single one of them ended up worse at the end. It was really awful. Why doesn't God give me the Ferrari? The answer is really simple. Because if God were to give you that, you would feel prideful, arrogant, entitled, and then somebody would say, that's what Christians are like. Look at that mess. And it would be worse off for God, and he loves you. It would be worse off for you. And so he says, no, but I have something else for you. Now listen, there are whole churches that get this completely wrong. There are whole churches that are based on the presumption that if you ask God in the right way and you have enough faith, you're going to get some good stuff. Yeah, it is about the wealth, it is about the car, it is about the prestige and the honor and whatnot. And that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't want you to become that person. Think about the Lord's Prayer. What does it say? It doesn't say much about our desires. It starts out with your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, right? And then when it gets to us, it just says, give us what we need. Daily bread is what we need to survive. It doesn't say, please let me have that special pair of jeans that it costs 120 quid. Please. It says, give us just enough to be satisfied so that we can keep focusing on you and on forgiving others and on loving others. So this is a prayer from selfishness. And God says no because he loves us. No, but. We'll look at the but in a moment. Another prayer, and this one isn't a sin at all, but it's praying for the salvation of someone who doesn't want to choose to believe. Okay, and this is going to be 1 John. This is further than James. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. It's page 1228. There's something fun about topicals. You get to bounce around the Bible. And as long as you're doing it right, we don't come to the long conclusions. Okay, we're in verse 16. 1 John 5 in verse 16. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. There is a sin that does not lead to death. Well, that's very strange. Let me give you a little bit of context about this. John says that prayer works. He's just said that the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person is very effective. But then people are going to say, oh, I know something that I need to pray for. I need to pray for all those guys that left us and denied Christ. So in the beginning of the book of 1 John, you read that there's people that went out from their presence because they never belonged there in the first place. And so at some point, somebody said, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't think this is the way. I don't think this is what I want. And they walked out. I'm not interested in Jesus. And they walked out of that place. And everybody wants to pray for them. And that's good. That's good to pray for them. Everybody wants to pray for them and say, oh, Lord, please help them to see that they've made a tremendous mistake. And please help them to come back. And the only issue is that they've made this choice that they may not want to unmake. Yeah. That they may be saying, I really don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And God isn't really willing to force them. God isn't really willing to force them to be with him because that would be gross. That's not love anymore, right? If we have no choice about being in God's presence, is that love? No. It's like an automated robot. And so God says, I'm going to have to listen. I hear what you're saying. You're praying for this person. And I'm gonna do work in that person's life. But you know what? Ultimately, they have to decide. Ultimately, they have to decide. This is a scary thought. You know, I want more than anything else in the whole world for Ezra to believe in Jesus. I want it more than to continue living, okay? I want it so bad, I would give up almost anything for it. But I can't force him. Yeah? and God won't. And I'm going to pray for him, and God does call me to pray all the time for him. Yeah, keep praying, but you can't force him. And so this is what he says. There are people that we pray for, and we say, God, why don't you answer? And God says, because I don't want to stop loving, and I don't want to force people. And so that's a heartache, but that does happen, yeah? One more prayer that God says no but to, and that's prayers about building our own kingdom, not his, or building his kingdom, but not in quite the right way, okay? This is Romans 8, 26. And it's page 1134. Oh, good. I'm not doing bad on time. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I want you to focus on that very first statement. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, in the Greek, in the original language, it actually says, the Spirit shows us what is necessary. It is necessary to pray, how it is necessary to pray. And that word, it's actually one word, it is necessary. That's one word in Greek. That word comes up all over the New Testament and also in the Old Testament for things that must happen for God's kingdom to come in power. Okay? And so what he's saying is, when we go to pray, we don't know how to pray precisely, Lord, let your kingdom come. We're praying it wrong. We're saying maybe even we have the right desire, but it's going the wrong direction. God's like, that's not the way I want the kingdom to come. That's not the way I want things to go. That's not quite right. Perhaps on the one side, we have selfishness, which is we're praying essentially, my kingdom come, my will be done, and you be on the side, right? We pray that way. You God, you get the glory at the end, but right now you give me the lots of glory and build all my stuff and make my life about me. And God says, no, that's not quite right, son, right? We gotta change this. Or we have times where we're praying and we're not quite right. It's not sin. So there's a famous example of this. It's Jesus. Okay, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he prays, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. It's not unfair for Jesus to pray that. He's about to die a death that he doesn't deserve for things that he never did. Okay, I'm just thinking maybe we can save all these people some other way, you know? This is sounding horrible for me. Okay, and so he prays. And what happens in that story? What happens after he prays? He goes to the cross. But directly before that, what happens? Just after he finishes praying, it says an angel ministered to him. The Spirit of God intervened, right? Intervened. And his prayers change after that point. He begins to say, if there's no other way, then let's go. Let's go to the cross. Okay? And so the Spirit comes and empowers us. And it says it intercedes. It's like spiritual autocorrect. Okay? Here's a prayer. Whoa, that's not quite right. Let's inject the Spirit into this. And so the Spirit begins to help and to pray with us and to fix it. So that it's not a useless prayer, right, that's going the wrong direction, but a good prayer that is building the kingdom. So every time you pray, you're going to get a good prayer out of it because you're not praying alone. It's like if you go to a prayer meeting and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so bad at this, right? And so you're like, I know I need to pray. And then you kind of look around and you look, okay, that person's going to pray, that person's going to pray, that person's going to pray. I'm not alone. And so you offer up a prayer thinking, at least I know that these guys too will pray and it'll be okay. So Jesus comes and he prays with us. His Spirit is there and it strengthens us. And sometimes the Spirit of the Lord compels us to pray something very different from what we've been praying. My mother was sharing this when she visited recently. She was praying specifically. She just felt called to pray for a certain lady she knew, her own age, who didn't know the Lord. And so she was just for a number of months praying every single day for this lady that she knew just in passing, but she just really felt compelled to pray. And then one day as she was praying, she just felt like the Lord said, it's all right. She's with me now. And it worked. You can pray for something else. This is what happened. She felt like very, very audibly, in a sense, like, okay, it's all right. Everything has worked out. Your prayer has been heard. And then later that week, she found out that she had indeed passed away. Yeah? And she didn't know anything about it. And the Lord just moved her. And see, the Lord is with you to move you to pray in the right way and then to say, well, that's not even perfect. Let me help it. And so, listen, you know what this means? It means the only way that we can fail at praying is to not pray. That's the only way. If the Spirit of God is going to help us, if the Spirit of God is with us, then the only way we lose is if we say, I'm not going to pray. And you know what? We often say, I'm not going to pray because we're pretty upset with God. So that's the real issue. I don't want to pray. Why? Because I'm not happy with the way God has led things. And then we miss out. We miss out because God will help us. He will fix our prayers. God always hears, but sometimes he corrects the prayers of his children. Last thing, even though God will auto-correct our wrong prayers, yet really when we pray, we want to know that we have what we're asking for. That's what we really want. I want to have the thing that I'm asking for. How can we do that? And there's a whole sermon I've given on this. Last year, in the fall, okay, in our series, Where Do We Go From Here? So I'm going to give you the link to that. But in the meantime, I'm just going to give you the kernel, which is we're going to pray God's will back to him. If you want your prayer answered, then start with what God's will is and pray that to him, and you'll find that he is going to work powerfully to make those things happen. And it's going to be in 1 John again. We'll go back. So remember, this is the book just before, it's a few before Revelations. 3 John's, Jude, and Revelation. That's what I remember. And it's in chapter 5, so we actually heard it in the reading. And we'll be in verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked for, we have what we have asked for. I'm sorry. Don't just pray randomly. Don't just pray randomly. Now, you have a lot of desires inside of your heart. I would encourage you to verbalize those to God as you think about them. But I would do so within the fabric of the kingdom coming. See, God has this big plan. And this big plan is never stopped. No one ever messes with the big plan. It may seem like it's fallen by the wayside, but God is making his name known. And he is making his love known to the entire world. And he has done it in Christ, and he will continue to do it because he wants as many people as possible to spend eternity with him. And if you will go and pray in regard to that thing, then you will get your prayers answered. There's a verse that says in James, it says, if anyone of you lacks faith, let him ask of God, and he will give it. There's no question of whether he will do it. Because God wants to do that, you see. That's in his plan to mature you. And it's in his plan to mature other people. And it's in his plan to take care of you enough so that you can go and make known his word to others. And it's in his plan to finally rid you of all those sins that you kind of conceal in your heart. He wants you to be free of those things. It's in his plan. So pray to him those things, and then you'll get a yes answer. Everybody wants a yes answer. You may have to change what you're praying so that it fits what God desires. I like to, when I pray about myself, I like to imagine I'm the third person in the conversation and say, what does that prisman actually need? Look at him. You know, look at what he's like. God, what does he need in order to do what you want him to do? And then to pray that. Oh, I pray for them this. Have you spent time thinking about other people, looking at their lives and saying, what's the next step that God has for them towards being fruitful in the gospel? What's the next step for them in growing? Pray that. God wants to answer that. He will answer that. God always hears, but sometimes corrects the prayers of his children. All right, so we have a couple follow-up questions. Here's what I'm thinking. You can hit the next slide. Let's look at the questions, then maybe spend a few minutes talking about it to each other, and then we can kind of answer the questions, but also you can have your, if there's something that's really gnawing at you, something that really bothered you about what I said, time to talk about that, and you very well may be right. So let's just spend the next, 2-3 minutes talking to one another about these questions. Are you convinced that God always hears your prayers? If not, why not? If God intercedes for us, what is the only way we can fail at praying? I kind of said it in the sermon. How do you feel hearing you ought to pray God's will back to you? Does that make you feel good or bad? Is this appealing or is it not? Okay, so let's chat about that, and we'll come back together in just a few minutes.